Colossians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can watch on the screen. We're going to look at verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, the Lord, he's talking to the Christians, he's talking to the church, he's talking to people who are saved. If you have received Christ as the Lord, here's his command, walk ye in him. Verse 7, be rooted and built up in him. Be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here's another command in verse 8, beware though, lest any man will spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, talking after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not following after Christ. Beware of those people. Verse 9, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Let us pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we're in your presence. Father, thank you for the time we've had to worship you with song, with worshiping you, with giving you our offerings. Father, with offering up our prayers. Father, we have been brought into your presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I would pray now that you would speak to us, that we would be reminded that we need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. For by Christ we have received salvation. Father, by Christ we are made complete in and through him. And Father, may we live that deeply rooted life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. I want you to picture in your mind this morning before we begin this sermon, I want you to picture, if you will, a sheriff and an outlaw in an old western town. They're standing at opposite ends of a dusty street. Their hands are twitching with energy and anticipation as they slowly drift to the gun holster on their hip. The local townspeople have slammed their doors and shut their windows. The sun glares overhead. Coarse dust is blowing in the street. And then a tumbleweed rolls across that street, crossing between the two contestants without concern for either of them. The clock tower strikes high noon. The chimes begin to sound. The men draw their weapons on each other and fire. Without going on, who or what are the Christians in that scenario? The sheriff who is standing against evil? The townspeople who are hiding and watching from behind closed doors? The sun that is shining? Who are the Christians? Is it the clock that is chiming? Or are the Christians represented by that tumbleweed, carried by the wind, rootless, aimlessly rolling along through life? You know, tumbleweeds begin their life like any other plant. They spring up in the springtime. They grow as thick green bushes, very beautiful to look upon. But when the spring rains stop, the tumbleweed's roots no longer find enough water to sustain them because the tumbleweed has very little root system. And when those shallow roots can no longer hold them to the ground, the tumbleweed withers up and it dies. And it simply just blows away. And it keeps blowing. And it keeps tumbling in the wind, never again to find root. More and more our culture, the society in which we believe or live in, is becoming uprooted from its Christian foundations. Students, I want you to listen today because this is basically for you guys. You have your whole life ahead of you, and you're either going to live it rooted in Christ, or you may become like that tumbleweed, just aimlessly being blown in all directions with no solid foundation. Christian families and individuals who were once firmly rooted in Christ and firmly rooted in a local church are now being carried away by every wind of false doctrine. Christians merely tumbling along aimlessly and dead, with no meaning or value. In the book of Colossians, Paul commended the church there in chapter 1 and parts of chapter 2 for their order and their steadfastness and their faith. He was happy. He was seeing good things going on there. They were consistent and they were faithful Christians. Yet then Paul admonishes them when he says here in chapter 2 of verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ, hey, I know you're a Christian, I know you were once saved, I know you proclaim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that be so, Paul says, then walk in Him. Walk in His ways. Be rooted, verse 7 says. Be rooted, be built up in Christ. Be established in the faith. That same faith that you have been taught. Students, you've been taught this stuff perhaps since you were a little kid, in Bible school, in nursery rhymes, in children's church. And now you're a student and you've been taught on youth night. You've been taught what the Word of God says. You're in church every Sunday. You have been taught this. And Paul is just saying, be established in that faith that you have been taught and abound therein with a thankful heart. Only as Christians are rooted in Christ will Christians ever grow in Him as well. Paul then goes on and he warns against the winds. The winds are represented by these false doctrines that are out there. These winds that are trying their best to uproot Christians. He says there in verse 8, beware. That word beware in the Greek means take notice of this. Hey, I need your attention. On this verse, he says, beware. And so we all need to be looking at this verse and not just reading it, not just looking at it, but letting it go into our minds and seep deep in our hearts, because this is a reality that is happening with your children and your grandchildren and with churches all across the world. These vain doctrines, these falsehoods, these people who are evil-spirited, trying their best to lure your children away from God and away from church. Paul says, beware, take notice, listen to me, Christian. Don't let any person spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit or after the traditions of men. That traditions of men, basically, whatever is in the society at that time, after the rudiments or the evilness of the world. Don't follow that. Because they want you to do that and not follow after Christ. See, the people here in Colossae 2,000 years ago were being influenced by Jewish legalism and Greek Gnosticism. Both of those threatened to pull the Christians away from being established in Jesus Christ. And like those Colossians, we too must be challenged to intentionally stay rooted in Christ. It's going to take work to stay rooted in Christ. I'm not going to kid you on that. You people who plant crops, you plant tomato plants, you plant whatever, it takes work to harvest something. You put the seed in, you have to cultivate a little bit, keep the weeds out, you have to make sure it waters. You have to do something. It's the same with our life. We have to be intentional in our act of staying rooted in Christ. We must work hard to avoid the drift. We must not let our life become like the tumbleweed plant, if you will. Becoming uprooted most of the time happens the same way a person might go broke or drift into sin slowly at first. We don't mean to be drifted. I'm appalled, and I think I've mentioned this a few times on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I read more and more where Christians are saying, well, it doesn't really matter if Jesus was born of a virgin or not. What really matters is he went to the cross. And more Christians are buying into that. Now, I have a problem with that, and it's this. If we say it doesn't matter if Christ was born of a virgin or not, because after all, he went to the cross, he still died for our sins. If we start believing that thing, then we might say, well, you know, after all, Jesus really didn't do any miracles. Well, after all, I don't know if it really was Jesus on that cross. It might have been someone else. Well, after all, we don't really know if he got placed in that tomb. Well, after all, I'm not sure he did rise. Where did we ever stop? And so when our sense to be rooted in Christ and the world tearing us apart, it perhaps starts off slowly. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves uprooted and tumbling along. Most Christians who drift from fervency to vacancy probably would deny that anything was wrong. They may say they're still fine with God. They may say, I still love my church. I still love my pastor. I still love my youth leader. But one day they're gone, nowhere to be found, having been blown away like that tumbleweed because they weren't never rooted in Christ. On a larger scale, our society has been doing this for decades. And I believe now as a society, we're seeing the results of Christians being uprooted. A minister in San Francisco, specializing in non-denominational weddings, said in 2001, about 30% of the couples he married did not want any reference to a religion at their wedding. Now, quite frankly, I'm not sure why he went ahead and married them anyway. If they didn't want God involved in the marriage, why would you do? I don't do that here as your pastor. I don't just put up a sign and say, hey, I'll marry anyone. No, we're going to meet three times. I want to know what your relationship is with God. I want to make sure you want God into your marriage. Amen. But now that same minister says, you know, the number nowadays is 80%. 80% saying, I don't want anything religious in my wedding. USA Today recently reported that a growing number of people no longer care or think about religion. Some of it is called apatheism, that is, apathy toward all religion or belief systems, not just God and God alone. These people do not think about heaven, they don't think about hell, they don't think about sin, they don't think about redemption, they don't think about right, they don't think about wrong. In fact, they just don't think about anything. They have no strong feelings against religion. Perhaps they're not even atheist, but they just don't want to be involved in God things. They simply just don't care. And today, religion is no longer an issue with a lot of people. They don't care about God things. I love that t-shirt. Students, I hope you wear that everywhere you go, school and at work or whatever, and engage conversation with people your age and talk about, hey, what's that mean to be rooted? And be able to give an answer and say, here's what it is. I care about God matters. I care about Jesus Christ. I care. Perhaps a lot of people don't care. They just don't know any difference. I'm of the opinion this. There are a lot of people who are hurting. There are a lot of people who want to know about God and want to know about Jesus. If someone would just take the time to say, hey, let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about God for a moment. We are living in what Quaker philosopher Elton Trueblood called a cut flower civilization. In his book, The Predicament of Modern Man, he wrote these words, and I quote, beautiful as cut flowers may be, and as much as we use our ingenuity to keep them looking fresh for a long time, cut flowers will eventually die. And they die because they are severed from their sustaining roots. We are trying to maintain the dignity of the individual apart from the deep faith that every man is made in God's image and is therefore precious in God's eyes, end quote. In other words, we cannot sustain the benefits of Christian morality and being rooted in Christ without Christ. Amen? We, the church, are the stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our country follows the life of her churches, and her churches follow the lives of the families who make up those churches. But too many of these people, some of them are calling themselves Christians in a bad way, have pulled up their roots from the person of Jesus. Can I just tell you, Christianity is not someone who goes to church. Amen? People are not realizing that Jesus is the only one who can give stability and nourishment and strength to our soul and to our body. So how do we get back to our roots? How can we stay grounded and planted so that we're not that tumbleweed that's blowing aimlessly down the dusty street? How can we not be that pretty cut flower which looks nice for a little while before it withers away The answer to those questions is this. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to first be saved. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once you have that relationship, it's what do you do with that relationship? What have you been doing with your salvation? What have you been doing with this thing called Christianity? Christian? Church? How do we stay rooted in Christ? First of all, we need to spend time with Jesus. Folks, you will not have any roots. You will not get the proper nourishment without spending time with Jesus. There, I said it. There's no other way. You have to spend time with Jesus. If you have a preacher who says, no, you don't got to do that, stay away from him. You have to spend time with Jesus. The core doctrine of Christianity is that salvation comes by faith and through our grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? And so therefore, the definition of a Christian is what? A follower of Christ. That's what a Christian is. And if you're not spending time with Jesus, how do you know what to follow? And if you're not following Christ, are you really then a Christian? All religions and philosophies and creeds will not and cannot satisfy your soul outside of Jesus Christ. For Jesus said he was the living water. Jesus said he was the breath of life. Jesus says, come unto me and you'll never thirst again. Come unto me and you'll never hunger. Jesus is the sustainer. He is the one that we plant our deep roots in. Amen? If we're going to live, he's the one who provides that spiritual nourishment for us to survive in the world that we live in. Every born-again believer, especially in the Baptist faith, will affirm that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is no other than Jesus Christ. Amen? It is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing, through our faith that we are given eternal life, and that is the Jesus that I want to be plugged into. That is the Jesus that I want to be firmly rooted into. That is the Jesus that I want to stay connected to. Amen? Spend time with Jesus. So if this is how we can receive Christ, if this is how we receive Jesus into our lives, if we know Christ is our Savior by our simple faith, if we want to say, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord, then why will we not also spend time with him and walk with him in that same way? Salvation is not the culmination of the Christian life. It's merely the beginning of it. Salvation is not all about going to heaven when you die. That's the end of it. Salvation is all about what happens in between. When you first accept Christ and when you die and go to heaven, what is happening in between? When we are lost, we needed Jesus like a man in a desert needs water. But when we're saved, we need him even more so. Amen? Christ is our Savior, but he's also our sustainer. And so when Paul told those people at Colossae, walk ye in him, in the Greek it's a continuous action verb. We need to be daily walking with Christ. It's a reminder that every action we take, every step on our path of life is either rooted in Christ and his power or it's rooted in our own flesh. And I'm here to tell you to say today, stay rooted in Christ. Amen. Ooh, that's good stuff. I told you that t-shirt would preach. Might take a note of that. Paul said in Colossians 1:10, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We've been talking about knowing God more and deeper and deeper. How do you do that? You have to walk in the Lord. Walk with Christ. Paul also wrote to that church at Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of all the vocation wherein you are called. He wrote to those churches of Galatia in Galatians 5:16, this I say to you also, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus provides a fellowship and a holy communion between God and man, which is our source of our spiritual strength. Nothing else in life of a Christian is more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every boy or girl who is a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with God Almighty, and it is through Jesus Christ, and that's the person you need to walk your life through. Amen? George Mueller a Christian evangelist from a past century, founder of Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England, said this, and I quote, "The primary business that I must attend to every day is to fellowship with the Lord. It is not how much I may serve the Lord, but how my inner man might be nourished by Him. I may share the truth with the unconverted. I may try to encourage believers. I may relieve the distressed. Or I may, in other ways, seek to behave as a child of God, yet not being happy in the Lord and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day, day in, day out, may result in this work being done in the wrong spirit." It's all about the walk with the Lord. According to Nielsen TV surveying, the average American in the United States spends 35 hours a week watching television. Now, not all TV is wrong or sinful. That's not the point here. But averaging 5 hours a day is borderline idolatrous, because it's taking the place of your fellowship with Christ. And that's just TV. What about the time we spend on video games or computers or Facebooking or texting or Twittering or blogging and all of that stuff? Not wrong in a sense. But if you're doing that way more, the communion with God and His Word, something's wrong there somewhere. If we're consumed to the point that we have no time left for God because we're doing all these other things, then our relationship with Jesus will begin to come uprooted. And we won't be doing His work in the right spirit. More than ever, students, more than ever in the society that you live in, more than ever you must be deliberately communing with Jesus on a daily basis. Oswald Chambers said this, "It is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God." He says, spend plenty of time with Him. Let other things go, but do not neglect Him. Spend time with Jesus. Secondly, we are rooted in Christ by knowing sound doctrine. We are rooted in Jesus Christ when we draw strength from spending time with Him, but our relationship with Him, and by our relationship with Him, and through our relationship with Him, we are rooted in the truth of His teachings. The Word of God teaches who Jesus is, what pleases Him, what He died for, and how we can become more like Him. And anything else of our relationship with Him is shallow. We need to know what that sound doctrine of Jesus Christ is. Oh, we can say we love Jesus, but without knowing the doctrines contained inside His Word, without knowing His teachings, we will not be able to stand firm when other doctrines come blowing along and tumbling along in our path, and we will become uprooted and we'll become like that tumbleweed if we don't know those strong doctrines of Jesus Christ. Paul's desire for the church here at Colossae was that they be established, that they be made firm and made sure in what they believed in. He wrote in Romans 16:25, "And now to Him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Jesus Christ is the one who establishes us in sound doctrine. God has that power to establish us. But it is according to His gospel message, not what the world is saying. It is according to the preaching of Jesus, not what the world is saying. It is according to the revelation of this mystery, which was the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches me what sound doctrine is. That same Holy Spirit that came into my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus says, He'll be the comforter. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus says, He'll the one be who guides you and gives you knowledge and wisdom so that you can stand against the evils of the world. Therefore, our stability, our roots, are directly tied to the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus does not change. He is who we sink our roots into, and He's there for us. Hebrews 13:9 says this, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Be established in the strong doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now more than ever, strange doctrines are pulling the hearts of Christians away from Jesus and spending time adrift. I spent Monday evening about 2 hours in a meeting that I never ever thought I would have to be in a meeting for. We were down at the state camp for executive board meetings Monday and Tuesday, and the issue came up because recently, if you have read that the Boy Scouts of America have now allowed transgender kids to be a part of the Boy Scouts. And so now we as state leaders and your camp director and churches across Indiana, we're asking ourselves, hey, we have this Highland Lakes Baptist camp, and we're getting ready for camp season. And generally speaking, we have about 300 kids go through this camp every year, maybe more, whatever it is. What are we going to do when this issue comes up? What is our policy to handle transgender children? And we all looked at each other, because we don't have a policy like that. And we thought, we better start writing a policy. And then it was discussed, well, then we have to send it to the lawyers. And then we have to send it to the insurance guys. And then we have to send it back to the lawyers. And then we have to keep track, what's the Boy Scouts doing? And then it really comes down to this, listen, it's going to happen. And we're going to be tried, and some judge or some courtroom is going to make that decision as to what's right or wrong. But I'm here to tell you, don't let that happen. Let the Word of God make that decision and say, here's what's right, here's what's wrong. Amen? God created male and female. That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to die with. Amen. We have a sin problem in our society. Parents, grandparents, your students are getting attacked relentlessly. This is what's right. This is what's right. This is what's right. And then your students are coming to your youth leaders and your pastor, well, my teacher says this, my school says this, society says this. And I say, yeah, but the Word of God says this, and your students are torn. This doctrine or this doctrine. We have a problem. And if we're going to remain faithful and true, we need to be stayed our roots deeply in Christ with sound doctrine. We need to know what is that sound doctrine. And you won't know it unless you're in God's Word. You won't know it unless you're in a Bible study group. You won't know it if you're not here to hear it. You won't know it if you're not staying firmly planted in Jesus Christ. Strange doctrines are pulling the hearts of Christians away from Jesus and sending many Christians in today's society adrift. They are rolling along like dead tumbleweed. Broke my heart. That same meeting. Well, we just can't do this. And we're at odds as to what is right and what is wrong. Strange doctrines. I never thought I would be in a meeting like that. Evangelism, yes. Sharing your faith with Christ, yes. Romans Road, yes. Hearing good preaching, yes. Hearing this good teaching, yes. But a meeting on what to do with the situation, strange doctrines are pulling the hearts of Christians away from sound doctrine. We're not rooted in anything anymore, it seems like. That's why it's so important and so adamant that we just cannot compromise biblical sound doctrine. Amen? To do so would be deadly to ourselves and to our homes and to our families and to our students and to the life of our church. Do not compromise sound biblical doctrine. Amen? Stay together with that. One of the strengths of the Southern Baptist religion has been in the teaching of fundamental truths of our faith. But I want you to listen to these staggering statistics. Some beliefs that we take for granted are being challenged by strange doctrines with each new generation. The Barna Group revealed a recent survey Four out of ten, that's 40% of Christians. We're not talking about the lost and dying world. We're talking about Christians. 40% of Christians, get this, strongly agree that Satan is not a real being. He's just a symbol of evil. My Bible says he is a created being, and he's very real, and he's running around this earth to and fro seeking to whom he can devour. He had a meeting with God about Job. He had a meeting with Jesus when Jesus was on the mountaintop, when he was during his temptations. Satan is a real being. 39%, again, almost 4 out of 10, same survey, somewhat or strongly agree that Jesus Christ sinned when he lived on the earth. We're talking about Christians here. This isn't unbelievers. This is a Christian survey. 22%, almost one-fourth of those same Christians believe that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truths. And 29%, almost a third of these Christians answered that their faith had not transformed their lives. Ugly, strange doctrines are pulling the hearts of Christians away from their roots of being rooted in Christ. These Christians that are believing these kind of things have no doctrinal roots, no strong relationship with Jesus, no nourishment for spiritual lives. But Peter commanded us in 2 Peter, he said, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, Peter was telling the church, do not forget the words which were spoken by holy men of God, by churches, by your upbringing. Do not forget the commandments found in the Word of God. Do not forget your strong spiritual biblical doctrine. Amen. And Titus 1:9 tells us, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers, or those who contradict sound doctrine. It is our present generation that is being under attack more so than ever. And if our present generation of Christians and you students are to be established in Christ, then this generation of churches cannot neglect the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Do not neglect the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, no matter what you do, church. There's been a trend in evangelical churches these days to create many different programs or activities or ministries, trying to capture the interests of the people. You and I have all heard about these model train meetings at the church. Let's have a baking cookies together. Wild game night dinner at the church. Let's get a group of people together at the church and discuss poetry. Let's have a car show in the church parking lot. Let's go on a motorcycle ride together under the church. Deer hunting, fishing trips. I even heard of one, this is the truth, I'm not making this up. How to brew beer. Come down to the church. Several years ago, our Southern Baptist Convention was in a quandary because in St. Louis there was a movement going on, Bible and a beer. And they were meeting, having churches at bars. Now, I'm all about going into the hedges and the byways and compelling people to come in. I'm all about that. I'm all about, you don't have to remind me, Jesus oftentimes ate with the publicans and the sinners. Yes, we need to go into establishments perhaps, and yes, we need to meet people where they're at, but I'm not going to water down the gospel message of Jesus Christ and say, let's have a bottle of beer and Bible study. That just doesn't go together. Don't let these strange doctrines pull you apart. Programs and activities can be good. It's good for the church. I love what we're doing tonight, a chili dinner cook-off fundraiser. It's a good thing for the church. But we're not going to forget that the core ministry of our church is preaching and teaching the pure word of God. For it is the preaching and teaching of the Bible that changes lives, stirs hearts, and turns souls to Christ. It generates disciples, and we need to be in sound doctrine to see Jesus Christ be a mighty movement across our land and with our students. 2 Timothy 4:6 says this. He says, I charge thee. Again, that word in the Greek means, listen to this. I am with all seriousness, listen. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, listen to this, because I think we're already here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, whatever they want to hear, shall they heap to themselves teachers. We only want teachers who will tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear. The time is coming, perhaps we're there. And look what's going to happen when that time comes in verse 4, and those kind of teachers, those kind of people will turn away their ears from the truth, and the truth shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Folks, every activity we do here in this church, every activity in your life should center around evangelism and preaching and teaching of the Bible. For when we do that, we will develop Christians who are deeply rooted in their church and in their walk with Christ. Amen. And lastly, students, lastly, stay in church. Stay in church. That's such a simple suggestion. I'm not asking you to give hundreds of dollars. I'm not asking you to lead worship every Sunday. I'm not asking you to be preachers or missionaries. All I'm asking is very simple. It's three words. Stay in church. I hope you live the rest of your life remembering those three words. Wherever you find yourself decades from now, 2 years from now, 20 years from now, wherever you find yourselves, I hope you always remember, hey, I was at Grace Baptist Church on March 12th, 2017, and the preacher said, stay in church. Amen. What a simple suggestion that everyone can do. Stay in church. But let me warn you, students, people of Grace Baptist, let me warn you about something. You have an enemy. You have an enemy who longs for nothing more than to sift you out as wheat. You have an enemy who longs for nothing more than to throw you to the wind and have you become a tumbleweed and see your life scattered or rolling aimlessly down some dusty road. I'm going to say something here you may not agree with, and that's okay. Students, not every person who writes a book or writes an article on the internet or has a religious TV show is there to root you in Jesus. For Paul said, beware. Beware lest any of these men spoil you through their own philosophies and their own vain deceits. Beware of those people who are leading you after their traditions and after the rudiments or the evil of the world. Beware of those people who are leading you not after Christ. The greatest danger comes when our relationship with Jesus is not as strong as it once was, or when we have less water satisfying our soul, or when we have less meat nourishing us, or when those dry winds of our trials and our troubles, when they come into our lives, it is at those moments when Christians are susceptible to false teachings. We had a very high-profile TV host several years ago. She was raised Baptist, by the way. And she boldly proclaimed on her show, where literally millions are watching, all religions or roads, whatever the word was she used, lead to God. And now we have people in Baptist churches, in Methodist churches, Christian churches saying, well, I know it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I know Jesus said that, but, you know, she on TV said, all roads lead there. And we have Christians saying, oh, yeah, I can believe that. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Students, you've been seeing this every Sunday. You've been seeing this every Sunday. This is some of your sound doctrine. And so when those people that come into your lives say, no, that doesn't mean anything, Satan wants you to start believing it. He wants to uproot you so that sooner or later you'll be that tumbleweed just rolling along through life. So that when Randy finally dies, there's no one here to take over Grace Baptist because everybody's been tumbling along. Stay in church. Stay in church. Don't be uprooted. Don't let the shallow lies of Satan and the world make those decisions in your life that uproot you. Stay firmly rooted in Christ. Draw close to Him. Dig deep into what His Word says. Don't be uprooted. Let me encourage all of you here today. Stay committed to the love of the Lord you have in your life. Stay committed to the love you have of this church. Christ loved the church so much that He gave His life for it. I was so excited last night here watching the students decorate and get ready for today. They're anticipating a big crowd tonight. I think we have 200 chairs set up. They are anticipating the people of Grace Baptist Church to be so in love with the Lord, so in love with their church, that they're going to be here tonight. Stay in church. Stay in love with Jesus. Stay in love with His church. Stay in love with Grace Baptist. Have the same heart that David had when he wrote in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I close with these words. Prior to being elected president, Theodore Roosevelt committed to attend church service each Sunday during his presidency. As you can imagine and expect, sometimes that was just impossible. After all, he was the president of the United States. He had things to do. But President Roosevelt had this habit. Whenever his official business as president would pull him away from church, he would always call his pastor, explaining the reason for his absence. You see, President Roosevelt loved his church so much, he felt the need to call off and let the church and pastor know. Although he would be unable to attend, he was still with them in spirit and in prayers. That is a sign of being rooted in the Lord's church. A lifetime of faithful to the service to the Lord is cultivated by our daily stability. We need to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We need to grow every day. We need to read His Word every day. We're reading Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Lamentations, and Malachi this month. I took a look at the board the other day. What a blessing. I didn't stand there long enough to read names. I made that commitment to you. I'm not reading names. I'm not following up on you. But I can tell by looking at it for a second. Is it full of names or is it empty? And what a blessing. The board is getting full of names. And that tells me that you, as Grace Baptist people, are reading God's Word. Keep reading it. Hold fast. Stay true to sound doctrine. Beware of those who are trying to pull you away. Stay in church. Make church a part of your weekly activities. Because I don't want to see any of you become a tumbleweed. I don't want to see any Christians coming out of Grace Baptist Church blowing in the wind down some dusty old road because they weren't firmly rooted in Christ. Don't become uprooted. Stay deeply rooted in Christ. Amen? So you can live a deeply rooted life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.